I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of answers, Hal Fritz has answered his victory with some comments he said on the show. Let's play one more from yesterday, because he addressed during the program yesterday his mindset. Here's something Fritz said.
Feeling good. Definitely feeling better this week than I did last week.
Yeah,
and I think for this show, we needed to restore order.
Yep.
You know, I was just taking my walk around Westchester. A lot of horns honking.
There you go.
Good job yesterday.
There you go.
And there's only one message. Order was restored.
Yep.
Order was restored.
The job is not finished.
Not even close.
Job's not done.
Yeah.
No? Yeah. We're not going to take 2 weeks celebrating like a different show did.
No. We're head down onto the next one.
Yeah, yeah. We're
also one day from vacation.
Yes.
Yeah, it really sounds like head down onto the next one there. That's exactly what I was thinking as they were doing that whole thing. I was like, they're just putting their head down, getting to the next one.
There you go. Well, look, you can react to how they're handling it and the whole overall competition, Humble versus Haughty Hammer, which you prefer. And, of course, the Phils, which has really been our main topic today. Let's reset this quickly and then right to the phones. As we broadcast from Borgata on this Friday morning, of course, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, away from the Tasty Cake Studio, from the beautiful Borgata in Atlantic City this Friday morning. So, Jody, the Matt Gelb article from yesterday, fascinating in The Athletic, and really details quite a bit about the Phillies' farm system and also their approach that he's reporting on to this point. He can't report on what they will do. No one knows what they will do. But he's reporting on what they've been doing, which is putting out signals to other teams that they are more interested in buying big, which also means giving away bigger prospects this year. Here's what he reported yesterday from Matt Gelb in The Athletic. He said, this July, the Phillies find themselves in a familiar spot. They need bullpen help again. They could use another right-handed bat again. They have used mid-tier prospects to patch holes in previous deadlines, but they have taken a different tone this time. According to officials from rival clubs who have spoken to the Phillies as the trade deadline landscape crystallizes, the Phillies, for now, sound more willing to trade bigger prospect chips for controllable big leaguers, especially a shutdown late-inning reliever. The Phillies have a top-heavy farm system. Major League sources said initial indications are the Phillies want to shop this July in a more expensive aisle than the rental one. They have the prospects to do it. Joe, do you think they should?
If the right deal is out there, yes. It, once again, I'll use the word I used earlier, untouchable. Do the Phillies have an untouchable right now in their minor league system that you just can't give up to get a key piece? The answer is no. So, yes, they should. If the deal is out there to be made, and you have to have faith in your general manager that he'll make the right call on whether the asking price is doable or not, if it's out there to be made, yes, they should go for it and pick up a key piece that's ready to step in, help them in 2025, and forego the potential downside of the next decade of that prospect.
Look, obviously I want the Phillies to do something. I want them to become better. We know in outfield and bullpen they can be. I will tell you, I'm more reluctant than Jody, Devin, and James with what they expressed earlier in the show on whether they should. I remember. I mean, it's a shudder through me thinking of 2013 through 2019. I mean, guys, they were off the map. They were off the map for 5 or 6 years. They were off the map.
But them going for it this year, I mean, you don't know. That doesn't necessarily take them off the map. It's not like you're going to have to trade every single prospect. And it's also not like every prospect is guaranteed to work out if they do stay with the team.
That's fair. And ironically, to the 2013 to 2019 reality, the prospects they traded in all those deals, and I was thrilled when they made those deals, 9, 10, and 11. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled. I mean, almost none of those prospects amount to anything.
Yeah. Travis d'Arnaud ended up being the best player that group traded.
So,
which is crazy.
But I think people understand the correlation. I mean, the concept of let's trade Andrew Painter for someone who can help me right now, like it could work out great, or it could be a complete abject disaster. Now, it's notable the last time the Phillies traded a primo prospect pitcher was when they traded that Sixto Sanchez guy, and he amounted to squat top with the Marlins.
Just hurt. Talk about a guy who's hurt. He never pitched.
He never pitches. So, and they got JT, and they've had 7 years of outstanding service from JT Realmuto. But we also know there's plenty of examples in sports, and, you know, one of them, just as a for instance, many years ago, the Red Sox acquired, and we love L.A., the Red Sox acquired a fairly old Larry Anderson, I think in 90.
Well, did they trade a good player for him?
And they traded that Jeff Bagwell guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
So, you know, this is the yin and yang of trying to figure out what to do, and it's complicated. And I really believe the fundamental issue isn't so much whether you want an outfielder or a bullpen, we all do. And it's not even whether you believe in Dombrowski to get it done, which people have wavered on that dramatically. I actually think the fundamental issue is whether you believe in Castellanos and Trey Turner and Bryson Stott and JT at this stage of his career and Bryce Harper at this stage of his career and others to do enough of their part in October to make it worthwhile to add that big player while giving up a big blue chip prospect for the future. Because at the end of the day, this is a lot more about what's already here and how they'll play in October than what's not here and how that guy might play in October. It's a lot more about whether Castellanos is going to hit. It's a lot more about whether JT is going to hit. It is. Do you believe in him? Let's go to the phones. Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, what do you make of this trade deadline stuff and everything going on? Good morning, bud.
Hey, good morning. And congratulations on a great victory again.
Thank you, sir.
And next year's competition should be the battle of knowledge. Every episode or every challenge should be a different sport.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That you could just crush this.
I like the athletic thing, man. We do the knowledge thing with Pete DeHammer every week. The athletic thing is, I think, what has elevated, part of what has elevated this.
I don't think Jack would, you know, deign to challenge the hammer in a bunch of sports trivia.
Yeah,
I tend
to agree.
Exactly. And is it fair to say more people listen to the morning show than the afternoon show?
I'd have to see the latest to know, but I mean, here's the good news, Steve. I'll be honest with you. If the answer to that is yes, I wouldn't say it on the air. So, you know, the reality is both shows have a lot of listeners, and I am proud for the station of that.
Listen to all the shows.
Yeah.
You are being very nice to them when you put them on the air, exposing them to the millions of listeners you have. You are too nice.
Well, it might be hundreds of million at this point, because I hear with that Odyssey app, we're big in Japan. Astronauts. Well, again, you know, astronauts apparently
I'm
in that space station.
I'm pretty sure everyone
station.
On the planet listens. I'm not 100%, yeah. But pretty sure.
All right, Steve, what do you think the Phillies should do?
Me? Well, first, before we get to that point, I wish our manager had 1% of Lee Elia's moxie, okay? That rant was sensational.
It's incredible.
And the other night, our manager should have gone 8 on the umpires that blew the game for us, and he didn't. And hearing that rant from 1983, I wish he just had 1 ounce of it. But listen, prospect is a prospect. It looks like their farm system is working well, so potentially we have more prospects. So do what you got to do. They want Painter? Yeah, give it to them. Who cares?
No, it's not who cares. It's definitely not who cares. You might give them to them because you get something big time back. It's absolutely not who cares, Steve. I mean, come on, man. I mean, Steve, he may be the highest valued pitching prospect since, like, Robin Roberts joined the Phillies.
Well,
like, seriously.
Joe, I might be the handsomest person in the world.
Yeah, but you know what, Steve?
It's only one person's opinion, my wife, so, you know.
All right, Steve, I need an answer, buddy. A rant, a non-rant, a very memorable piece of audio that we have from a public figure through the years. What's the greatest ever?
Well, Devin has the winning answer, so the only thing I could think of, you're killing me, Smalls.
I thought you were going to say E. we're looking for a real life. I thought it was Devin E. All right, so the Lee Ilya thing was just referenced. Let's play it again for those that didn't hear it early in our show when we played it. It may be the single greatest rant of all time. This was in 1983. Now, Lee Ilya managed the Phillies in 88 and 89, and sadly, he passed away yesterday. He was, when I met him twice, he was a great gentleman. I met him once as a kid, and I met him at Dutch's funeral back in 2017. And I was really struck by his humility. I remember seeing him go up to Darren's mother that day and say, "Hi, I'm Lee Ilya. You probably, you know, don't know me, but I used to manage your son." And, of course, you know, Mrs. Dalton completely remembered him because, yes, he used to manage his son. But I was really struck by his humility and the way, and when he and I talked, he seemed like a great person. And he was with the Phillies organization for many years, not just as their manager, but third base coach in 80 when they won the World Series. I guess, Jody, when Pete Rose maybe, did Pete Rose run through the stop sign and knock over the Astros catcher, or? I don't know
Ray
if there's
Fossey,
a stop.
Ray
Fossey.
Oh,
no,
Ray Fossey.
It was Bruce, Bochy.
Yeah, yeah.
Bruce Bochy in Game 4.
I had the All Star game
when
on my mind.
When he clobbered him with the forearm, the right arm forearm. Come on, Jody, you got to be with me.
I
on this.
Know the play you're referencing.
I don't know if there's a stop sign or not.
Neither do I.
I'm not sure, but I know this: Lee Ilya was there at third base, coach, either waving a man or telling him to stop, and Rose scored with that forearm to Bochy's face. With that said, Ilya did a lot in baseball, and he passed away yesterday. And he did deliver in 1983, perhaps the greatest rant of all time. Here is a many bleep version. He was upset at Cubs fans. He's the Cubs manager at this point. Cubs manager in 83. Upset at Cubs fans for getting on Cubs players, including throwing some stuff at Boa, who played for the Cubs in that year, a couple years there. Listen to Ilya and what he said about 40 years ago.
I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my ass right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My ass. What the am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the nickel dime people that show up? The mother don't even work. That's why they're out at the game. They ought to go out and get a job and find out what it's like to go out there and earn a living. 85% of the world's working. The other 15 come out here. A playground for the suckers. Rip them mother suckers like the players. Got guys busting their ass and them people too. And that's the Cubs? My ass. They talk about the great support that the players get around here. I haven't seen it this year.
Unbelievable rant. I mean, it's an all-timer. It might be the greatest ever. So Lee Ilya, condolences to the Phillies organization and his family. He was from the area. And so certainly we want to acknowledge that reality. We don't want you to think it's just about the rant. But the rant is something that, you know, will unfortunately, I suppose, for his legacy, be his longest-standing legacy. But he said it, and it is what it is. But condolences to those that knew him and loved him. But it's an all-timer.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.